your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Those of you who know me know that I have a phobia about cords and things behind the pulpit. We got all kinds of cords and things behind the pulpit today, so if I fall and I say I'm okay, just give me a chance to get up, all right? If I don't say anything, come and help me. There were lots of people involved in the birth of Jesus Christ, or groups of people, and we've looked at some of them throughout the month of December. Today I want to look at the shepherds. The shepherds were the first to hear about the birth of Jesus after he was born. Probably, other than Mary and Joseph, they were the first to see the baby Jesus, and they were the first to tell other people about the birth of Jesus. But of all the people that you could choose, especially to proclaim the message, shepherds may have been the most unlikely of choices. Shepherds, of course, were necessary in ancient times, but they were not appreciated at all. If they were on the social ladder, and I say if because they probably weren't, but if they were on the social ladder, they were on the very bottom of the bottom rung. Most people had no respect, for shepherds. Most people didn't believe that shepherds could tell the truth. I think I said one time that shepherds were the used car salesmen of ancient Israel, because I used to be one, so it's okay for me to say that. But shepherds were not even allowed to testify in a court of law, because people didn't believe that they were capable of telling the truth. And yet these are the people that God chose to first tell about the birth of Jesus after he was born. So I wanted to look at them for just a minute this morning. For these guys, we'll read in Luke chapter 2. We'll start in verse 8 through verse 20. For these men, it was just an ordinary night. They were just out in the field watching over their flock like they had done probably hundreds, maybe thousands of times before, depending upon their age. And something extraordinary happened. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. The shepherds believed the message of the angels. And because they believed the message of the angels, they did something about it. Listen, Christianity will always result in some kind of action. When we believe the message of Jesus Christ, and when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're going to do something about it. I want us to notice what the shepherds did this morning. First of all, they proved the message. Verses 15 and 16 of Luke chapter 2, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. I think the sequence of events is important for us to notice this morning. First, the shepherds are just out there doing their job, and the angel appears. And I'm sure with the angel there was some sort of a bright light or something. The single angel comes and announces the birth of Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says that there was a multitude of the heavenly host that came, and they began to sing and worship God and say, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Then all the angels left. I thought about that this week. I think that was a critical moment for the shepherds. This is the moment when they're going to decide whether or not they believed what they had seen and heard, or if they had actually seen and heard anything at all. You know, they might have thought, well, it must have been a dream. We must have imagined it. You know, it couldn't have really happened. They'd never seen an angel before. They didn't know what one was, probably. So they might have just thought, well, it can't be real. But they decided, we've been talking about choice this week, and the shepherds chose to believe the message of the angels. So they went to Bethlehem to see the baby Jesus. And because they went, because they believed, and because they went, they proved the message because they saw baby Jesus. One of the reasons we know the story is true is that the shepherds went and saw Jesus. They're one of the groups of people who physically saw him at his birth. When people today obey the Word of God, we prove the Word of God. I want you to think about that for just a minute. I'd never thought too much about this. I hear people all the time saying, well, you know, there's no proof of God. Well, of course there is. The world is the proof of God. Creation is proof of God. People are proof of God. Our physical bodies are proof of God. And then people say, well, there's no proof that the Bible is true. Well, we are, Christian people, we are proof of the truth of God's Word. Let me give you some examples. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we confess our sins, we prove that God will really forgive our sins. And we not only prove it to ourselves, we prove it to others because they see the change in our lives. They see the forgiveness that God gives to us. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. When we trust in God and acknowledge God and lean on Him, we prove that He really will guide and direct our paths. We prove it to ourselves, and we prove it to other people because they see us following God. Here's one of my favorites, Philippians 4:6-7. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry. That's one of my favorite verses. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we make our requests known unto God and then quit worrying about it, when we tell God what we need and then leave it in His hands, we prove that God really will give peace. And that peace is evident to other people who look around, especially to the unsaved. They see Christians going around in this troubled, evil, wicked world, and they see Christians who have peace. And we are the proof of God's Word. The peace of God will keep your hearts. That means to guard your hearts. Nobody likes to talk about money, especially at church. Have you noticed that? Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. When we pay our tithes, Christians, when we pay our tithes, we prove that God will abundantly bless His people. And that is evident to those who are not Christians. Christian, when we obey the Word of God, we are living proof of the absolute truth of the Word of God. Can I tell you something? Of course I can. I'm up here preaching. I can tell it. Do you know one of the reasons why unsaved people are uncomfortable in the presence of Christian people? Because we prove that the Bible is true. Our lives prove that the Bible is true. That means for those who are unsaved, they are in danger of hell. Because we prove the Scripture is true, and the Scripture says for those who die without Jesus Christ, they'll be condemned to eternity in hell. That's why they get uncomfortable around Christian people. I had somebody talking to me one time, and they were concerned about their spouse. who was unsaved. And they said, you know, they wanted them to come to church and they wanted them to do this and they wanted them to. But every time they came to church, they were uncomfortable. Well, of course. Listen, I would love every Sunday to have the sanctuary full. And I would love every Sunday to have the sanctuary full of unsaved folks. And I would love every Sunday for every unsaved person who leaves to leave uncomfortable. Because the Holy Spirit comes upon them and convicts them of their sins and draws them to Jesus. And when they resist, they need to be uncomfortable. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, listen, I love you. And I hope you're really uncomfortable. And I hope that you'll come to know Jesus as your Savior and you can get over that discomfort. The shepherds proved the truth of the message by obeying the message. Christians prove the truth of the Word of God by obeying the Word of God. The second thing they did was that they proclaimed the message. Verse 17 says, "And when they had seen it," the shepherds had seen Jesus, "they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." They were told that the child was the Savior. And so they made known abroad the message that Jesus was born and that He was the Savior of all mankind. These guys, listen, these shepherds, I told you, they were not social people. They weren't invited to parties. They might not have been welcome in the synagogue even sometimes, depending upon the priest of that particular synagogue. They were not comfortable in social settings. They were not used to talking to other people other than shepherds or their family. They weren't used to talking to strangers, but none of that mattered. They made known abroad the message of the coming of the Savior of the world. And then something interesting happened. I want you to notice verse 18. "And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." That word "wondered" means they were amazed. That doesn't mean that they believed it. Some of those folks, most of those folks who heard the shepherds probably thought, "You guys are crazy. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. A baby born of a virgin? Impossible, right? You're trying to tell me that the King of the world was born in a stable and laid in a feed trough? If there's a new king born, he's going to be born at the palace." I'm sure most of the people who heard the shepherds proclaim that message thought they were crazy. Most of them thought they were liars, remember? They're incapable of telling the truth. But the shepherds weren't responsible for the response to the message. They were only responsible to proclaim the message of the birth of Jesus. Christians, we are responsible to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. Mark 16:15 says, "And he said unto them," that is Jesus, "said unto us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Plain and simple. Amen. Go tell people about Jesus. Most won't believe. Some will think you're crazy. Some will think you're self-righteous. Some will think you're holier than thou. Some will think you're misguided. Some may think you're telling them a lie. We're not responsible for the way people respond to the message. We're only responsible to proclaim the message. 65 plus years ago, Carlisle Hannah and his wife went to India. And they began to proclaim the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. She died proclaiming that message on the field in India. He's in his 80s and he's still on the field proclaiming the message in India. And this year, 10,000 people will come for the annual convention of the Free Will Baptist in India. The good news is, most won't believe, but some will. Some will hear, some will believe, some will receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, and it's our privilege and our responsibility to tell them about Him. That's why I encourage you to pray for the missionaries. That's why I encourage you to support them financially. That's why I encourage you to tell your family and your friends and your co-workers and your neighbors and your enemies about Jesus Christ. Listen, if you'll tell your enemy about Jesus and they get saved, they won't be your enemy anymore. The shepherds proclaimed the message. The last thing that they did was that they praised God. Luke 2:20 says, And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. They went back to their jobs and back to their lives, but they were different people. They went back praising and glorifying God. Their encounter with Jesus impacted all of the rest of their lives. And when you come to know Jesus as your Savior, it will impact all of the rest of your life. It will change you. It will change your life. It will give you peace. It will give you joy. It will give you eternal life in heaven. It makes all the difference in the world. These shepherds were thankful to have been told the message. They were thankful to have seen Jesus. They were thankful to have proclaimed the message. And so, because God had chosen them and God had blessed them and God had used them, they praised God. Christian, you have been chosen by God. You have been blessed by God. God has used you in your service, and He will continue to use you in His service. And so, therefore, we should be praising God. Amen. He is worthy of our praise. It's also been commanded to us that we praise God. Psalm 150, the entire psalm, says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." I read that last verse. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And I thought, you know, it should say, let every person that hath breath praise the Lord. But it doesn't. It says everything. Do you realize that everything that breathes, with the exception of mankind, praises God by their obedience to function the way He created them to function? I don't think about that too often. All of the animal kingdom, everything that breathes, does exactly what God wants it to do, what God commanded it to do, and by obeying God, they not only prove God, they praise God. It is only mankind in the creation of God that has rebelled against Him. It is only mankind that has failed Him. And so as Christians, we should be that part of the creation of God, of mankind, that worships and praises God in obedience to Him and for all that He's done for us. Christian, let's obey the Word of God, and by obeying the Word of God, let's prove it to those who live around us. Let's proclaim the message of salvation through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And let's praise the Lord. He has given us a wonderful gift. I'm going to ask you, if you would, this morning. I know there's lots of folks here. If you would please stand as quietly as you can, bow your heads. I think I'll have Shara come and play a song this morning. We're going to take just a minute. Try to be reverent and quiet in this moment. If you can't stand, it's fine. You remain seated. Christmas is the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He left heaven and came to Bethlehem and was laid in a manger in a stable, and He did that for you because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because we sinned, our sin condemns us to eternity in hell, and only Jesus can forgive our sins. Only Jesus can save our souls. Only Jesus can redeem us from that condemnation. If you're here this morning and you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to invite you to do that just now. Please be quiet. Please be still. If you're not interested, please don't disturb someone around you who is interested in changing their eternal destiny from hell to heaven. Would you come this morning while Shara plays?